beauty of this show.
Welcome to East Meets West, episode 269. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
And I have an idea for this show, Roger.
Ooh, wait a minute. Ideas are dangerous.
I take it back. I have no ideas.
Oh, well, in that case, feel free to...
I live a perfectly safe and respectable life. Please do not arrest me.
Enough. What's your idea?
My idea is that we create a Google Hangout circle of our regular East Meets West guest hosts. So, you know, Brian Brushwood, Veronica Belmont, Justin Robert Young, anybody that we've had, Patrick Norton. We create a Google Hangout circle, and then whenever we record East Meets West, we do it through a Hangout.
Oh,
and we just say, anybody who happens to be on wants to join in. And we just see who shows up.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
We don't actually schedule guest hosts to preserve the sort of on the spur of the moment feel. You and I are the only ones who have to agree on a recording time. But then we could just sort of invite in whoever we wanted or whoever happened to be around.
I like that. It would actually get me to use Google Plus. As you very well know, I've been on it for, 3 months? How long has it been up since it was available?
Since the summer. I don't remember.
And I have yet to make a post.
Scott Johnson could be in there. I mean, whoever. We could put whoever we want.
I have... What's so interesting is I have over 11,000 people who've included me in their circles.
Really? Where do you find that out?
When you go to your Google Plus, you hit the little circles.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then people who've added you.
I see.
And then
people who've added you.
I'm sure you have like 50 billion people.
No, it's about the same as Twitter.
So it's like I have 11,289. Most of them I don't even know. I honestly believe some people think I'm sort of some sort of real estate broker or something because I've been seeing a lot of people who in their profiles are like real estate agents. Or like have
Do you think real estate agents are just going around and adding everyone so that they can try to sell them real estate?
So I've had this sneaking suspicion, and you can tell me whether or not I'm just being paranoid.
You're being paranoid.
On a number of forums, you know, related to a number of different things, be it technology, video games, politics, and things like real estate finance, people have been pointing out, like, yeah, this person's not only just a troll, but you know, a person who disguises themselves as a kind of a forum schlub, but in fact has an agenda. So, like, if it's about real estate, they're there to like talk down naysayers who say, like, for example, the real estate's heading for local real estate is heading for another property bubble. It's like, oh, you're just you're being incredibly paranoid.
Should I try that?
Try what?
Just putting something like, wow, local real estate's sure in the toilet, and just see what kind of responses
just say
I
like,
get.
You know, it's I don't know what it is, but I just wondering if through all our connected media, we're missing out on kind of this subversive advertising. Like if you're in a forum for games or something or toys or any kind of entertainment, you know, sometimes you'll spot an odd, or I shouldn't say odd, but like someone who champions a movie, except that they don't really give a reason other than, yeah, you know, if you like blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. Like if you like X movie, you're going to definitely like Y movie, even though they don't really kind of give a very good explanation other than, you know, you might like it. It just seems like like another way to
kind of spam.
Yeah, exactly. The same way I get all these people on Twitter – and I've been highlighting them as spam and blocking them. But, you know, you look at their tweets and it's all these links to, like, you know, these, you know, portal web pages for, like, you know, like super discounts on iPhones and, you know, other electronic gear. It has nothing to do, nothing really said. But they fill out their profile so it looks like they're a human being or
well,
you know,
they have to be, right? That's the Google Plus way. Unless you're a corporation, now you can start a page and you don't have to be anybody. Brand. You can be a brand. But I thought that was crazy how they were so strict on the real names thing. And then when they started the pages for companies, they're like, well, you can be anything. Anybody can start it for anybody. We don't care.
Yeah. I find it maybe still a little unsettling on how quickly, you know, marketers and other, you know, that kind of creeping commercialization. Perhaps I'm a little too old.
Certainly not surprising.
No, it's definitely not surprising, but it is unsettling. You know, like when you have a medical condition and you're not surprised when the doctor says that, you know, you're worse because you haven't exercised stuff, but still unsettling. You know, you
do
knew
you really
that.
Find it unsettling that there are spammers on the? I mean, I actually don't find it unsettling in the least. I find it perfectly. To me, it's more like I walked out into the woods and there were mushrooms. Maybe I don't like mushrooms. Actually, I do like mushrooms, but let's pretend I don't for the sake of the story. I don't like mushrooms, but I walked out in the woods. They're mushrooms. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect my life. It doesn't unsettle me. I'm not afraid of the mushrooms. They're just there.
It's just, I don't know why.
Not everything is perfect.
I can't give you a rational argument. I mean, I know that's supposed to happen. I know, you know, people are going to take advantage of.
It's mold. I feel like spammers are like mold. You know, if you don't clean properly, you get mold. It happens with some of my older blogs and websites. I notice like, oh, yeah, they're filling up with spam, getting moldy, left them out too long, haven't kept them properly cleaned, need to take some Tilex to my blog.
Let me ask you a question. This is something slightly, and the only reason I did it because I'm looking at my Google Plus and then I popped over to Gmail just for a second. I'm getting other people's email.
In your Gmail?
Yeah, like they used my email. And generally it wouldn't bother me because I just highlighted spam because I used to get all these real estate listings from Maryland.
Real estate? That's weird.
I don't know what it is, but maybe Roger is a popular real estate
name. They see the many properties you hold around the world, and they say, well, this is obviously a man of taste.
No. Someone signs me up, but they use my email. Maybe their first name is Roger.
Dad.
No. My dad's not that sophisticated. I normally highlight spam, but now I'm getting this person's, you know, Wells Fargo emails. And it's like, isn't that kind of dangerous? Couldn't I potentially be able to get access?
Are you going to do it?
No, because I can't. I don't know how to contact this guy because he used my email. So the only new person I would be emailing is myself.
Is it really Wells Fargo or is it?
No, it is.
Is it malware?
I have Wells Fargo Overdraft Protection Advance. It has his account number. First of all, it doesn't have his whole account number, just the last four digits. And it told me how much it got overdrafted.
Yeah, but does that have a link to click that takes you to a piece of malware that installs?
Nope.
I mean, they could make it look very legit.
No.
Oh, so this is a scammer that has gone and set up accounts using other people's email addresses.
This schmuck. His name is Roger Cannon. He probably assumes my email, because it also starts with an R and has a C in there somewhere, used it accidentally.
Oh, you think he just wrote his email down wrong?
But
that has happened to me, where I've gotten emails for other Tom Merritts in the world. And people, you know, because people just guess at an email address. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I love the plans for the new church, but I am not the architect, Tom Merritt. You might want to check your email address.
And it's on one hand, you know, I feel like I should tell this person, but, you know, I can't contact him. But on the other hand, I kind of enjoy it. Because it's kind of voyeuristic. I know it seems kind of seedy, but I also used to get another Roger. I think his last name was Clemens or something like that. I got all of his receipts for his pharmacy, like his prescription drugs. I used to get this other Roger's Verizon bill and Verizon account info.
Well, you know what they say.
I don't know. Well, what do they say?
Life gives you Clemens email.
You make lemonade.
Enjoy the voyeuristic pleasure of reading it.
Oh, damn. But it's I don't know. It seems like I've been given an access to someone's life, even if it isn't their full life. Because then, you know, I like when I was getting that person's resume, I could, you know, I It's like I could potentially find out like where he's been making his calls, who has he called, phone numbers and all that. It just seems like something so personal, people would be a little more careful to realize like, hey, I just signed up for something and I've never gotten an email from them.
I understand the voyeuristic appeal, but it's why I believe that we should all be issued unique alphanumeric string hashes as our real identities. I guess we sort of have been, huh? With at least in the United States, with social security numbers.
Yeah, but you know, social security numbers were really never meant to be what they are used.
No, and I know, but they've taken on that role. So I think you know what? Let's embrace it. Forget all this worry about the number of the beast and the government tracking you and all of that. They track you. They know you. Even if you're like, I refuse to use my social security number for any, they track you. They know who you are. They know who you are better than you know who you are. So let's just give in to the government and
roll over.
Accept unique, secure alphanumeric strings to go by. And let's get away with this old-fashioned notion of parents naming their children. Your government issues you your number at birth, takes all the pressure off the new parents. They don't have to think, well, is it going to be made fun of at school? No, it's just, you know, the government agent comes into the hospital and says, congratulations, your new baby boy, A57F06793 2B67DDFG, is now an official resident of the United States.
I think I like it. It's a very THX.
I don't see anything that could go wrong. Do you?
No, none. I mean, you know, assuming the government is benevolent and you
which
know,
we all know it is,
omnipotent and omniscient, you know, the government really only has the citizen's best interest in mind, Tom. I mean, only a dastardly individual would even conceive of any
only
kind of
a terrorist.
Perhaps it would be easier to track them with that unique string of letters and numbers and perhaps wingdings. I want wingdings.
I want to be named after a wingding. That's a good idea.
How would you pronounce it, though?
Well, we'll have to develop that. We'll put a committee on that.
But yeah,
I tell you what, though, I am tired of this anti-government, like this extreme anti-government rhetoric. I am not a big fan of a lot of government. We've talked about that a million times on East Meets West. But it's getting to the point where I'm... Yeah,
it's
the
absurd.
Government does do some things well. You rely on them every day for all kinds of things that government does well. There is a reason to have government. And the rhetoric has sort of gotten to the extreme of like, you know, people are this side of saying, you know, let's just have anarchy. Let's just have no government at all. That would be better than any government. And it's tiring because we've also gotten to the point, we've talked about this on the show before, where you can't suggest a moderate point of view. If I say, well, I don't think all government's bad, then you get, you know, 10 people jumping out of the woodwork saying, oh, you just want to sell all your rights to the government. You just want to give it all over, you flaming liberal. You want to tax me to death. But if you go the opposite side and you say, well, no, I think the government's stepping in a little too far in this area, then you get somebody from the other side. Oh, you fascist. You just want to bash everything and you don't care and you want to hand it all over to the big banks and you're all about the free market. So I can't we have a position that's somewhere in the middle? No.
I don't know. I'm wondering if there will be a generation of individuals who've grown up in such a divisive kind of you know, such polar opposite opinions that, when they develop, you know, a personal identity, you know, of self-awareness and their opinions, it just kind of mimics that, or are they going to try to find the middle? I don't know. It seems there's a confluence of things that have that are unique in this point in history. Access to information, access to instant communication, the ability to transmit one person's thought to literally millions of people around the globe. Whether it's alien abduction, 9/11 conspiracy theories, fluoride is a secret weapon by the government to mind control you, there always seems to be enough, more than just a handful, just more than just like what you would consider fringe people to support these, that you wonder, is there a future for humanity, you know, in 100, 200 years? Or
of course there is.
Or will things have to get so bad that, like the Dark Ages, you have this kind of great purge of people and things slowly start to rebuild again?
So much of it just makes me so tired.
Maybe that's where we're so tired.
Maybe.
Maybe we're old.
I'm not actually directing this at you, even though you sort of espoused this view, but you hear these people very seriously saying, you know, there's no future for humanity and everyone's stupid. You were just now using that as sort of a rhetorical device to say, like, are we going down a bad path, right? I know you don't believe that the entire human race is going to go extinct.
In a billion years, maybe. 50-50. We might not be on the planet.
But you get so many people out there who are like, well, everyone's stupid and humanity's in the tank. And it's not true. It's demonstrably not true. There are many, many very intelligent people out there. And in fact, humanity has a better quality of life than it has ever had in the history of humanity. When you take the longer view, when you step back, it's even a better quality of life than the world had in the 50s. Does that mean every single person has a great quality of life? No, absolutely not. There are plenty of people who are suffering, impoverished, and oppressed. But there are fewer people suffering and impoverished and oppressed than there were in the past. And there are a lot of people who may not be living a perfect life, but, you know, they have enough to eat and they have a decent job and a decent living. I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't be, you know, out there protesting.
You shouldn't be a nihilist.
Yeah, that you should just sit back and relax and accept it. But I also don't think this is the worst the world has ever been. And so many people say that. Oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. This world's gone a decline. It's not. That doesn't mean it is perfect and that there isn't a lot that needs to fix. And there's a lot of reasons you should be in the streets protesting for whatever it is to fix. But it also doesn't mean that, you know, why do we have to construct a fiction that this is the worst things have ever been in order for us to justify us complaining about it?
Because people like to complain.
Complain anyway? And just say, well, you know, I know the world is actually in a much better shape than it used to be, but it's not perfect. And here, you know,
because we're driven to hyperbole. I mean, I think it's part of the human condition, right? When you yell fire, you don't calmly, oh, there's a raging torrent of flames outside the door. Perhaps
you just buy a Kindle Fire? Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
It's more like, Jesus Christ, the house is going to burn down. You better get out of here if you want to live. You know,
when there is an emergency.
You're assuming your level of rationalization is equal across the board, and
I absolutely am not. No, let me make that clear. I don't think my level of rationalization is equal across the board. What I get tired of is people not understanding that things are gradations. So I don't assume that everyone is rational, but I do think that more people can be rational than there are. That there are people capable of rationality that aren't exhibiting rationality. And maybe that's the problem, is we haven't fostered a rational society. We haven't valued it. And maybe that's why a lot of these people who are otherwise rational say, it's going to hell in a handbasket, because I do believe that 100 years ago that at least a section of society valued fair play, rationality, and some of the more abstract concepts more than we do now. We live in a world now where it's very much like, oh, well, if I can't see it and I can't touch it, I don't believe it.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of the messages we're exposed to. You know, for the longest time, you know, having never been to the South and just basing my entire view of what that region, like the Deep South in the U.S., based purely on movies and, you know, any kind of magazine article or newspaper article with some sort of negativity, floods, you know, racial discord or anything, I would think that the Southern United States is just one giant flaming wreck of you know, racist disasters, you know, the stereotypical redneck driving a pickup truck, shooting people left and right. And, you know, when you get there, it's nothing like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's because you're inundated day in and day out, whether it's headlines, whether it's Twitter messages, whether it's, you know, something that someone staples to the telephone pole outside your door like people do in my neighborhood. You begin to foster a view of things based solely on this all the stimulus that you're getting. Like if I drop,
that's where we come back to my constant refrain, which is teaching the ability to think critically. And even if you haven't traveled and experienced much, if you think critically, you know that message is simplified, that is a stereotype. You may not know what the reality is because you haven't experienced it, but you should be able to tell, oh, well, that's just one side of the story, and I don't know what the other side is.
I completely agree with you, but at the same time, I think people being emotional beings that they are, that emotion will overcome intellect at various times. I mean, you know, I think people are more prone to give into their emotional, you know, worries and states and stuff. Even if you told someone, like, you know, the company's looking to downsize next year and we're looking to maybe lay off at least 10 to 15% of the workforce. And someone tells you, you know, more likely than not, you're going to stay. Nothing's going to happen to you. But just that little bit of doubt can kind of balloon in that person's mind. I mean, it did with me when we were going through all those layoffs at Tech TV. You know, people's like, "Well, you're fine." But you know, maybe. But you know, I wouldn't put too much thought into
but
it.
But you didn't go around acting crazy.
Oh no, I
didn't
act crazy.
You had enough critical thinking and rationality to understand that. Okay, I'm having this emotion that I'm scared. But I know intellectually that I probably shouldn't be, and that's how you deal with your emotion.
Yeah, but I don't think having known people with emotional issues, I don't think everyone's capable of that.
But not everyone has emotional issues. If you have emotional issues, I get that, and there are a lot of people who are. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just reacting to a small percentage of the populace. Maybe I'm committing exactly the same error
that I'm criticizing
other people for. And, you know, hearing a couple of voices in a chat room or on Twitter or just, you know, in real life talking and attributing it to a wider slice of the populace than it really represents.
What a few thousand people say reflects on the 300 million that make up the country.
Yeah. And I think that maybe that's what really frustrates me. Is the loudest voices control the debate right now.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Not always. Right now, that's absolutely true. But in the past, it hasn't. There have been times when moderate opinion and sensible talk have been valued above extremes. And we're just not in a period of time in our culture where that's true. I think that stuff does swing back and forth over time.
I think you just need to grow a thicker layer of cynicism.
Oh, no, I have a very thick layer of cynicism.
So thick, it looks like my skin.
It is my skin. I don't think it's that. I think I am very cynical, which is why I'm frustrated. Does that make any sense?
Maybe it's because you need to, like, I don't know, go on a retreat and move up into the foothills. Where you have?
Well,
I think
you're overinterpreting how upset I am about it. I can function in my daily life. I don't need to escape to the hills. I'm intellectually wondering what causes something. I'm not saying you need to fix me.
Watch Winnebago Man. You know the whole story about Winnebago Man.
I don't. Tell me the story of Winnebago Man.
It's this YouTube clip of all this captured. Takes that this man did for Winnebago for all their new lines of RVs, and in it all he does is swear, like take after take, things are going wrong. Says, why in the f can I remember the lines? I wrote them, you know. And he's just going left and right, and it became kind of an internet meme because, you know, here was a guy in his like early 40s, mid 40s, just losing it, trying to read some stupid thing to sell RVs, you know, for Winnebago. And so this guy did this documentary on it, and this guy, you know, was considered to be the most angry man on the internet because that entire clip of him was just him swearing.
Because you only see the angry parts of him, right?
Yeah, and because that's kind of what was called. That was kind of the funny gag reel. you know, this guy just messing up and making swearing and stuff. And it turns out this guy, he used to be a newsman or a television journalist in the East Coast in Manhattan, and he just kind of got rolled out of that. He did the Winnebago thing for a while, and then he just got sick of dealing with everyone, and he moved up in the north of California, like up into the foothills, and just kind of lives there with his dog. And you know, he's incredibly intelligent, but he just seems to have an incredible disdain for society at large. Just, you know, they don't get it. You know, they're like cattle. You know, they just take whatever that's given to them.
No, but when I ask why people do this, I'm really asking why. I really want to know. Most people, when they say, why does this happen, they're really saying, I hate this. And that's a statement. And then your reaction, well, maybe you should become Winnebago Man and move up to the hills, makes sense. But I'm not saying I just hate this and I can't deal with it. I'm saying, why? Why does this? I really am asking that question.
Try fishing for a month. Maybe you'll find a zen.
Oh, please. You just want me to go away. Why do you want me to go away so bad?
I'm just saying, maybe you need a month off.
No, you're acting as if I'm losing it. I am asking why it is that
maybe
people
are losing
act
it,
this
Tom.
Way.
Maybe this is the early stages, no, and I'm just intervening.
Don't you try those mind games on me, Roger Chang. Your Jedi powers don't work here.
Not over Skype,
no,
anyway.
Tom, you are losing it. No, I'm not. I'm not. Now you are.
I don't know. I just... It's hard. It's frustrating. I think society... I mean, the cacophony of noise and you know... information and sounds and people. I mean, I don't think our, you know, I've said this before, you know, other than us, you know, just being too large a society, too many people, I'm not sure if our brains were designed to be able to connect with as many people as we do.
I would widen that out. It's not even just people, just points of stimulus, whether they're people or television shows or informational billboards. We're just inundated with stuff that demands our attention more than we ever have been ever. And I think that increases the overall stress level, which probably decreases the ability and certainly the motivation to act rationally.
Because we all want to
be Winnebago Man in that case and run out, but we can't. And so you lose it.
Rush hour traffic, perfect example.
Well,
people,
you know,
are just...
I actually use my observed reactions, my natural reactions to other drivers, as a test of what my attitude is like that day. Like when I'm driving into work, I know, like, all right, I got to be careful when I get to work because I'm in an annoyed mood. Because really, you know, we always say, wow, the drivers are really stupid out there today. They're not. The drivers are the same pretty much every day. With you know, probably occasional exceptions, you know, on the end of the bell curve. But if you suddenly think the drivers are really idiotic one day, it probably means that you're upset.
Oh, yeah.
Irritable.
I get a foul mood.
Yeah.
I can tell when I'm in a foul mood when I just want to start running into people.
Exactly. So I've actually started using it less as an evaluation of anything about how other people drive and more as a litmus test of how I'm feeling.
And then do you reach over and pull open the bottle of prescription pills and pop a few?
No, I don't have any prescription pills.
Oh, Tom, it's okay.
I think you're projecting, Roger. I think you're the one who needs to go off into the hills.
Maybe.
I'll be all grizzly.
I'll make my living painting for gold.
I'm a little curious
dust.
What kind of prescription pills you're on, too.
I don't know. I should check.
Are they any good?
I just take them.
I just take them when the doctor orders.
They look colorful. They're like vitamins.
I had to go to the doctor. I'm not going to talk about it. It wasn't for any illness. It was that. I'm 41, and you're supposed to go when you're 40, right? Well, I waited a year.
You know, I haven't been to the doctor in 4.5 years. I should go.
Yeah, you should probably go. It was fine. My doctor actually told me I'm doing a great job.
You're doing a great job. Can you get dressed so I can get my next patient in here so I can meet my quota?
No, she's not. Actually, my doctor is very good about that.
I know. Eileen gave me your doctor's name. I got to make
it. It was cold. The building that the doctor's office is in, the boiler was out. And it was a chilly day.
I think sometimes being a little cold when you're being undressed is a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
Ah, Because we're getting old, Roger.
Getting old and we don't care what we say.
That's right. This podcast, let me tell you, folks, the few of you that are listening that have been with us for a long time, you enjoy this podcast now. You just wait. The next few years, Roger and I are going to get old and cranky, not care what we say anymore. It's only going to get better.
I will swear up a storm.
This podcast will get better with age. I guarantee it.
Yes. I'll have a definite kick.
Today's episode notwithstanding.
Yes.
It will get better. I promise.
Comments?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I got to stop interrupting you. Roger, do you feel like I interrupt you? Maria thought I did. She thought I was not letting you finish your sentences. And I know when we get into a heated debate sometimes, that we'll cut each other off, but she thought I was cutting you off too much.
I think I tend to be more submissive because I think you're so comfortable in that setting, especially being at Twit, that in those round tables with all those guests, that it's just a natural thing. For me, I'm still a little on the polite side because I try to cultivate a nice guy image, even though that may not be true.
Yeah,
but I would say.
Keep working. You're getting there.
Just got to clean off the bloody knife.
What Corey said. Corey said you should have just kept on talking and not be nice. But in a round table situation, there is a delicate balance of when it's okay to jump in and say, I know what you're getting at, and I'm going to throw my thing in here. And it makes for a livelier conversation than if everyone just sits there politely waiting for the other person to stop talking. That actually can ruin the flow. But I'm sorry, Maria. I don't mean to cut off Roger. I'm not trying to disrespect Roger.
Tom and Roger from K-Volk wrote, Tom and Roger, look what happened to Bradley Manning. Real world example of the issue guy.
Talking about the military, Bradley Manning.
We were talking about. Yeah. And then Tenacity said, Roger, you were wrong. I'm a freshman in high school. It's not our fault. I'm not sure what he's referring to because I'm spacing out on what I said.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's one thing people need to understand is we say so many things in so many different arenas, especially, you know, doing other podcasts, other shows. We don't remember anything we say ever.
Which is funny because if
you don't quote us back, we won't have any idea what you're talking about.
Which is funny because Patrick Stewart said the same thing. I was at his DragonCon.
Yeah. I think he's mentioned this before.
2 years ago. It was great. He's, you know, it's Patrick Stewart. He played Captain Jean-Luc Picard in Star Trek The Next Generation. He has his own panel, and his panel basically consists of taking questions from the audience. And so you have, you know, the dozen or so people who have different questions about episode, blah, 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 you did this, you know, what was it like, or did you really, you know, break your leg or something like that? And it was interesting because he said, now forgive me when I say this, it's not that I don't think Star Trek was important. But I don't remember individual episodes because the way we shot them, and I shot so many of them, everything tends to blur together. And so it was actually very nice. He just wanted to put it out there. It's like, I don't remember these specific episodes because for me, they were just a blur of a period in my work life. In the same way, if someone said, remember the episode of Screensavers? Like, maybe. I mean, you know, we did like a daily show every day for like, you know, 6 years. I don't remember each and every episode.
Well, right. And it's the imbalance of fame. When you are Patrick Stewart, you go in, you record your episode, your lines, you do your bits. You don't even see the whole thing, right? You only record your bits and then you're out. And maybe you watch the finished project once and that's it. When you're a fan, you watch The Next Generation over and over and over again. You memorize lines. You love certain episodes. And so you remember everything. You actually have the famous people at a disadvantage.
Yes, exactly. And so whenever you meet a celebrity and you ask them about something, they look kind of spaced. Don't worry. It's not them blowing you. It might be them blowing you off. But generally, it's just because they're trying to think. It's like, are you someone I'm supposed to pay? Are you someone I promise something to?
When you meet a famous person, gently remind them of their own name. They'll appreciate it.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. That's it for this episode of East Means West. Of course, there are tons more comments at subbrilliant.com/EMW.
It's a great comment thread.
They're very heavy. Be careful lifting. Lift with your knees when you read our comments. And make some comments on this episode, if you would. We appreciate them. Subbrilliant.com/EMW. Just look for East Meets West 269. I believe we will name this episode, Roger, if you're okay, when life gives you Clemens.
Sure. You're the master of puns. If you put a picture of a lemonade, Clemenade.
Clemenade. There you go, Clem. Clemens. You should email Clemens and let him know.
I want to buy a bottle of limeade because I like limeade more than I like lemonade.
I like the great taste of limon, too. We'll see you next time, folks.
Bye.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.